So I'm looking at my time. I'm knowing what I'm going to speak up here. I think you've heard some pretty incredible things. So we're going to have communion today. And so I'm just going to make an adjustment. Show videos. So one of the things that Matt shared up here is very profound. I mean, you know, with kids, you heard that, you know, that we are all on a journey. Probably the picture of what it means to be on this journey is the nation of Israel coming into the promised land. And God told them, I'm not going to give you the land all at once. You couldn't handle it. You're not prepared for it. I'm going to give it to you little by little, one step at a time. And the life of a Christian, the life of a Christian is an ongoing journey of growth. The fact is there will never come a time until you die that 100% of you belongs to Him. I wish that could be. I wish that could be for us. Maybe 99 point something percent. There's always some holdout because we're always on a journey of growth with Him. You accept Christ into your life. All of Christ comes to live into you, inside of you. When you receive the Holy Spirit, all of the Holy Spirit, not just a little piece of Him. It's like sometimes our language confuses things. More Lord, more Lord, more Lord. But the reality is what's happening is more of you is being given to God. Usually there's some piece of you or something that you're holding back. And I like to picture our walk with God and our life with Him and our growth like a big house. And you have a big house, you know, and you've been walking around in this old house for a long time and all the lights are off and the curtains are pulled and everything and there's no lights. It's just totally dark in there. You can't see. And you're used to walking around in this house like it is. And then one day you awaken to the fact that you need Christ. And you open the door and you let Him come in. And He comes in the living room. And, of course, Jesus is the light. Right? And for the first time in your life, you see what's inside your house. Gosh, man, this place needs painting. Look at all that garbage on the wall. What is all this trash around here? And all of a sudden, the smell hits you. This is really gross in here. Lord, I'm so sorry. He says, it's okay. And He takes you by the hand, and He starts cleaning that part of your life. It's a journey you have. And things that you didn't know were wrong, all of a sudden are wrong. Words that come out of your mouth, and for the first time in your life, you feel like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Or thoughts about a neighbor, or the way you deal with your money, or a program that you sort of zero in on the television, or at the show, or a piece of music that you used to listen to, that used to really, you know, was great for you, and all of a sudden you realize, I don't like that anymore. It just doesn't say the same thing. You're changing. You're transforming. And about the time that room gets cleaned up, the Lord says, okay, let's go over there. Then you have to walk into another room. And then there's another room. And the thing is that the thing that we really hate is those closets. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm just trying to give you a picture of what it's like to grow in Christ. The theological word for this, that comes from you've been going to Nazarene College, you know, so you ought to know this word good. You know what the word is? You know what that word is? And this is not a test. You don't pass or fail on this. You should know because it's the hallmark of the Nazarene church. What? All right, I'm going to say it, and you're going to go, oh, of course, because I sat with a bunch of our leaders up in our, I'm going to confess so you'll feel better, because I sat with a bunch of our leaders up in a meeting with Timothy Berry, and he said, does your church have a mission statement? What is it? And they're all going, I don't know, do we have a mission statement? Do we have a mission statement? Of course we do. We do. Follow Christ and make followers of him. It's on our thing, you know, but I mean, we didn't even have a mission statement. I don't think we have one, you know, and that whole thing. Well, of course we do, but it's the same thing. So don't sanctification.
Oh, I said holiness.
Huh? But that holiness is the same thing, isn't it? Holiness is the same thing as sanctification. It's just a different word. One's a theological word, and the other, but it means that the overcoming of our life with Christ, with God, it means the transforming of our life to become more and more like him. I mean, I've been pastoring this church for 38 years. I've been in the ministry for 40 years. The official ministry for 40 years. I've been a Christian now for maybe almost 50 years. Pretty scary. And the thing is that I'm not done yet. So if that offends you, then you probably go find another pastor that is done. One that could say, oh yeah, man, I'm 100% turned over to Christ. Because every time I say or I think something like that, I find myself in a situation where there's a new territory, there's a new place to let go of, to allow him to come in. And so, you know, I mean, Matt's on that journey, and you can continue to respond to altar calls if that's it. God, I give you more, I give you more, I give you more of my life. You know, oh, Lord, I can see that this is not done yet, so please come into this part of my life. Now, he's already there. He's always at work. But you're just opening doors in yourself. If that's a good way to put it, I don't even know how else to put it, except that it's a journey of growth, and sanctification is a journey of growth. And that's what I want to be with my life. I want every part of my life to be all of him. And there's an interesting word that when I teach on the gifts of the Spirit, I like to utilize for that. It's never just one way. So that's one thing that sparked me. I just want to it's not a foolish thing. It's like you're opening up another door. You're opening up another. But it's not like all of God doesn't live in you right now. He does. That's the great mystery that the New Testament gives us. Christ lives in you. You can't have any more of Christ. If he's a person, he's not like a liquid that you pour a little bit in and you pour a little bit more and you pour a little bit more in. It's like you have all of him. We just don't realize who we are. And so we can continue living this journey with him. The second thing, this is not, I wish all of our young people were here to listen, but I mean, you guys need to listen to this as well, because culture has changed and the way that we view reality has changed. I don't know how many times you heard in that video, I felt. Did you hear that? How did you feel? I feel. You've got to understand that the culture that we live in right now, feelings are reality. God loves to have you feel his presence. God loves to have you feel his presence. But I want you to know that there will, it's guaranteed, there will come a time when you will not feel his presence. Does that mean he's not there? Is he there? There will come a time when you won't feel. There will come a time when we talk about, I want his love to pour over me. Well, his love is more than a feeling. And this is one of the most difficult aspects of Christianity. I had to cross this bridge, and every one of us will have to cross this bridge at one time or another. Because we walk by faith, not by sight. I was going to Melody Land School of Theology. I'd been a Christian for a little over 3 years. I'd never had a moment in which I didn't feel God's presence. I'd never had a moment in which I didn't feel when I was praying that great energy. But all of a sudden that stopped. God, where are you? What have I done? I just happened to be in a church history class with Bob Whitaker, whom I have introduced him to you. We've had many times. He's a Presbyterian. Now he's a retired charismatic Presbyterian minister. And Bob was teaching church history. And he was sharing the stories of Wesley and then going back farther, you know, Irenaeus and all of these great men of church history and their journeys. And every one of them found themselves in that place. That place where God's presence wasn't felt for them. And at that point, they had to make a decision. Am I going to trust God? Am I going to believe? Christianity is based upon faith. Whether you see Him there or not, you've got to trust Him. And in fact, the reality is you'll be called to places where there'll be no experience of God. Where things will look so dark around you and God will just whisper to you in some way. I mean, you know, it's like, will you trust me? I'm here. There are times when you'll feel like I'm a sinner. But you know Christ has come into you and He's cleansed you. But the feelings of shame and the feelings of guilt will overwhelm you, but you'll have a choice at that point. Are you going to believe those feelings of shame and guilt? Are you going to believe in what God says about you in His Word through the cross? It's not hard to feel shame. It's not hard to feel the ugly stuff. But it's somewhere along the line on your journey with God, this will be one place you have to cross. Am I going to trust Him? When I don't feel Him, when I don't see Him, when the answers don't come so quickly. I love the feelings. I love the presence of God when I feel Him, although I really doubt intellectually if I'm feeling quite the presence of God. I mean, because that's my body's involved. That's too deep. I don't want to go there. I mean, you know, what are feelings when you start going through that? You know, and it's like, is that the presence of God? And if you equate the feelings with the presence of God, is God any more present when you feel Him than when you don't? Mostly it's just our attentiveness to Him. Are we being attentive to Him? But you got to understand that we walk by faith, not by sight. Have you ever really thought about these words when Jesus said this to Thomas? Thomas, because you've seen me, have you believed? Blessed are those who haven't seen, but believed. You ever thought about the implications of those words? I love miracles, and I love the fact that we have those wonderful times when we gather together and we worship, and God's presence is so thick. What feels like God's presence is so thick you could cut it with a knife. I love that. But the fact is, we want to live there. It's like, can we do it again, God? Can we do it again? Can we do it again? But there will come a time in which He will say to the same people who felt those things, can you trust me? Even though you don't have all those signs that you have grown used to and that you love so much, will you trust me? So Christianity is a growth. You're all on a journey with Him. We haven't arrived yet. We're in the process. We're on a journey. I love that. We passed by a church in San Luis Obispo yesterday. The name of the church was Journey. I thought, I like that, Journey. And so that's great. We are on a journey. And then part of that journey is going to be we walk by faith, not by sight. Which means when everything is falling apart around you and everything is ugly, will you trust Him? And I prayed for you earlier, Debbie. You know, and the picture came to me. And when I started praying of Jesus in the boat with his disciples, you know. And, I mean, they're on this lake. And, I mean, it's like now the storm is up. And they're just like going, we're going to drown. We're going to drown. And they go and they wake Jesus up. And they say, Lord, don't you care? We're going to drown. How many of you have ever been in a place like that when your life is, and it's like, it seems like there's no, Lord, don't you even care? We're going to drown here. And Jesus gets up and he calms everything. He says he rebukes the storm and everything just stopped. And then he turned and he looked at his disciples and he said, why didn't you wake me up sooner? Is that what he said? You don't recognize those words, do you? You want to know what he said? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? So, we're on a journey. And there are times when it gets difficult. But God has one word to ask from you. Trust me. Trust. And so I don't know what's going on in your life over there. You know, I don't even know your name right now, but I just know that when I look at you, I feel like God wants, you've got something going on in your life that God wants this word to be pertinent to you right now. Trust me. See, what we don't trust, when we don't trust me, it's like, you really love me? You know, did you really die for me? Are you really there? You know, and then trusting is at that point where you say to God, okay, I don't feel you, I don't see you, I don't even see you in this situation. I see no good ending to this situation, but I trust you. I trust you. Debbie, did you read that word that I pointed to you in Philippians? Would you read it? Read it out loud. Philippians 1. I got to look it up now. All right, I'll just read it to you. How about this? Okay, Philippians 1:28. Which again, she asked me for prayer when I was praying for her, and then I had to sit down during worship. And don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies, Paul writes. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they're going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God Himself. The background to that is faith. I'm trusting you, God. Don't be intimidated by your enemies. And you guys, we all got enemies, you know. If they're not physical enemies, they're spiritual enemies. And they rise up around us and they shout at us. Don't be intimidated by them. Why? Because who lives in you? Who lives in you? If you're a Christian, who lives in you? Say it. Christ. In the book of Colossians that we've been reading, who is Christ? He's the creator of it all. He's the awesome. You can't get any higher than Him, right? You can't get any higher. And if Lucifer himself, who's the devil, is shaking his fist in your face, they say, oh God, I got the man himself here. Oh Jesus, help me. It's like Christ lives in you. Who is the creator, the power of the universe, and the power that holds the universe together. If we only knew, if we only believed. If our ushers would come, let's prepare ourselves to come to the Lord's table today. Has this meant anything to anybody here in this room? If it has meant something to you, put your hand up for a moment. Is there anybody in this room that feels like there's somebody else that I need to pray for? There's something else that's... If we truly walk into church the way that we're called to walk into church, it means that we aren't all spectators. We are participants. And so some of you may have had some inklings about some of the people around you. I mean nice inklings, not bad ones, like my brother. But a thought for a prayer. Maybe there's somebody that you wanted to pray for. You know, I mean, Carol and I went to the park the other night. Monty Mills was playing at the park downtown. You know, and so we're sitting there, and but there's this... A gal and her daughter sitting little right over here next to me. And I just couldn't, you know, it was like I have something to say to them. In the park with Monty Mills playing, you know. You know, do you ever have those kind of, that sense where, you know, I need to respond to that? And so finally I looked at Carol. I said, I've got to go over there and tell her something. I think she knew kind of what was going up. I went over there and I gave that gal a word from God, you know, and tears, your eyes welled up and that whole thing. Right there in the park during a concert, which is where the church is supposed to be, right? Don't wait for those things to happen in church. Wherever we go, Christ is in us. Let's stand together. So today, this is the life that you and I are called to. Right? This is the life that you and I are called to. To realize the reality of Christ within us, which communion calls us back to that. When we go through the actions of eating the bread and drinking the cup, this goes inside of us. You know we are actually visibly taking something in. And what it's intended to do is to remind us that we have Christ within us. We are more because Christ is inside of us. The angels of heaven can't say that, but you can. Christ is in you. And so forgiveness, all power of the universe exists in you. You got the strength to face whatever it is that you face. Well, then why do I have problems? Well, I mean, you know, if you think about, if you've been walking with Christ for any length of time, when you're in the middle of it, you wonder, how in the world is this going to happen? But if you stopped and looked back, you can see how many things Christ has brought you through. And he's no different now. So let this be today a recommitment. It's one of those places I give more of myself to you, Lord.